Once I find out, we could increase that order a little bit, maybe, when we'll be too late.
I'll take the blame for that. That's what caused me to go check out the contract.
Had our reporting today.
It woke up?
What's that?
Your computer woke up.
Mine's okay, it's Chanel's that's broke.
Hey, guys, we're...
Got facial recognition, recognized, it wasn't John, so it wasn't gonna...
There you go, huh?
Change it on John's stuff.
We good?
Yep.
All right, looks like we're ready to go. We'd like to welcome everybody to our county commission meeting this Monday, the 25th day of August, 2025. We're about 7 minutes after the hour. Appreciate Chanel filling in for John this morning. He's out playing, so much needed vacation. We'll begin this morning with our Pledge of Allegiance. Well, actually, our prayer first by David Johnson, and following that, we'll be led in the pledge by George Colson.
Our dear gracious Father in heaven, we bow our heads this morning before thee. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather to discuss the needs of the county, and we're grateful for our elected officials and their willingness to serve and to look at the future and to make sure they're doing what's best in behalf of those residents who live and work here. We're grateful for this beautiful place that we have to be in. We're grateful for our first responders, for our military men and women who serve and preserve our freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. We are grateful for a place where we can practice our religious freedom and that we can worship how we please. We're grateful for our Savior Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us, and pray that we may follow his example in kindness and love and mercy to those around us. And we pray that thy Spirit will be upon us, and that thou will bless our elected officials here as they review and they make decisions, and that they may be inspired to make those decisions that are best in thy sight. And these things we pray and thank thee for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, David and George. Appreciate that. We will go. Do we have minutes to approve? What's the date on them?
August 11th.
Okay. If there's any, is there any discussion on the minutes for August 11th? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I was not present, so I will abstain from...
I'll make a motion to approve minutes for August 11th.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes with Mike abstaining because he was absent. Now we need to approve the claims for payment from August 11th to August 24th, 2025.
I'll move for approval of claims for payment from August 11th, 2025 to August 24th, 2025.
Second that motion.
It moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We'll go ahead with our departmental reports now, and we'll start with David Johnson with our Economic Development Department.
Good morning, Commissioners. So I was here just a little bit ago giving you kind of the annual recap. Months ago. And so what I thought I'd do today is just kind of talk about most recent announcements, news, and things that are upcoming to have you be aware of. So recently we actually had a couple great news stories. One is about the Hive Plastics facility that's opening here soon in the Silver Hills Industrial. They'll be having their groundbreaking soon. I need to confirm the dates for that, but once I get confirmation, either they or I will send you the information so that you can attend that ground, that, or I'm sorry, not groundbreaking, but ribbon cutting for the official opening. Another good news story that we had was Utah Business Magazine. They did a feature all about Iron County, Utah Inland Port, and just the progress that we're making here. You know, these news stories are awesome, and to be able to have these relationships with local reporters, and they are clearly seeing the momentum going on. In one of the upcoming things, I'll just kind of skip ahead, is both Danny Stewart and I were recently asked to go up to a conference in September where we're going to speak specifically on Southern Utah and specifically on Iron County to a group of professionals that are, they basically do marketing for architects and engineers and developers, et cetera, where we're going to highlight why there's such a great hustle and bustle for the commercial side, the industrial side here in Iron County. So the word is out of all the things that are going on. The other weekend, I was out of town, but we had a very successful small business expo at the business or at Southwest Tech. I heard that they had a lot of attendees and a lot of vendors there to help our small businesses. By way of news, a few other things is Cedar City was recently, our Main Street was ranked in the top 100 best Main Streets in the entire country. So that's something that we're always proud of. You probably always hear the comment jokingly that it's like walking into a Hallmark movie when you walk down Cedar Main Street, especially during Christmas lighting and things like that. Both BZI and a small company called Back Nine, it's indoor golf simulator. It started in St. George, but the first franchisee for Back Nine was actually in Cedar City. And now in 2.5 years, they have more than 250 locations across the country. And so both BZI and Back Nine were marked in the top 50 fastest growing businesses in the state, and Back Nine was actually ranked number 4, and BZI, I'm trying to remember where they were ranked. I don't remember their exact ranking, but they were in the top 50. In fact, when I saw the list, I immediately went to the list and I searched BZI because I knew they were going to be in that list. So we've seen a lot of great progress there. I just recently presented to our Chamber of Commerce. They have the new their new Chamber President, Tessa Douglas. If you don't already know her or haven't met her, encourage you to do so. We did an economic development update. Both Maria Twitchell, Danny Stewart, and myself all spoke on economic development as a whole. And obviously, the three of us kind of covered the breadth of economic development. A few upcoming things. We have on September 9th, the American Pacific, not American Packaging, American Pacific expansion. That is a groundbreaking. Have each of you, do you know if you've received an invitation from them yet? You probably should have.
I haven't seen anything.
If you haven't seen anything, I will message them.
When is it?
It is on September 9th. It should be, I think it's at 11 a.m. Don't quote me. I'll forward that on to you. Or I'll have them forward it on to you because in order to attend, you have to like fill out a form because they're very specific because of the type of industry that they're in. They have to get certain approvals for access. So September 9th.
Is this the company that does the food labeling?
No, this is American Pacific.
This is WECO.
This is WECO. Yeah. The artist formerly known as WECO. So American Pacific. So they do the...
Oh, I thought you said American Packaging.
Yeah. And I said not to be confused with American Packaging. So yes. So they'll be doing their groundbreaking for that expansion. That's $100 million capital investment to expand. I mean, that is significant investment. So we are excited for that. Tomorrow at Southwest Tech is the Meet the Resources. This is another opportunity for businesses in the community. I'll be at that off and on, as will my assistant, to provide resources for those businesses looking for how we can help. We get calls for everything. We get calls from large-scale manufacturers from Europe to mom-pa businesses who are struggling to figure out how to build their clientele. We really cover the whole vast variety of businesses. And so this Meet the Resources is an opportunity for a business of any size or sort to come chat with us and a lot of other resources here in Iron County to assist their businesses. Also upcoming in September, I'll be attending. I told you about that a presentation up north Danny and I will be doing to architects and engineers, kind of the marketing folks. I'll be attending the 47G, which is our Aerospace Defense and Advanced Manufacturing Association here in the state. I'm on the advisory board for that, so I'll be attending that. And then also that same week, all three things are occurring. There'll be an energy summit, a two-day energy summit, considering, you know, the high interest constantly here in Iron County on energy. I think it's important for me to try to attend some of those to get what's the pulse on energy between not just solar, but, you know, battery storage to geothermal, et cetera. So those are a few of the things we have going on. We've responded to a handful of RFIs, but right now, and I think I conveyed this when I came last time and I presented that huge list of all these companies we had been pursuing, and now we have about 7 or 8 that are committed to come here. Right now, there'll be less. We'll still make outreach efforts, but the better way to phrase it is there's going to be more focus on these companies that have committed to be here to help them cross the finish line. That's where a lot of our focus is going to be, hopefully in the next year. So, happy to take any questions that you might have. All right. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
We were talking
about,
is it Winco that's coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Winco has announced to come on the north end.
When are they going to break ground?
They haven't announced when they're going to break ground. Like I was telling you just before, I spoke with their VP of real estate. They're still kind of going through some of their due diligence and things like that. It was very out of uncommon for them to allow us to announce that before they completed that, but they were very adamant they wanted to move fast. My hope is, and don't quote me on this because I can't speak in their behalf, but my hope is in the next year or about a year, maybe a year and a half, they'll open doors. So my hope is the groundbreaking will be in the next few months. So, yeah. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, commissioners.
All right, we'll go to emergency management, George Colson. Finally got a little rain last night, George.
Not much.
Not a lot, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. I actually had somebody call me about 10 o'clock last night needing sandbags. I said, is there enough rain to need a sandbag? And they said, well, in my house. And I said, well, we don't have any filled, and the county yard's all locked up, so... They lived in Cedar, so I sent them over to Cedar. Cedar usually over in their yard has some filled ones. No, they didn't. All right, well.
Nope.
Okay.
There's a pile of sand and a bunch of bags, but there's nothing done up.
Well, if you bring your own shovel, you can fill your own bag.
There's the cones and
so I'm my
labor.
I didn't bring a copy of my budget, but it's doing fine. We're well within limits. And I'm not going to cover everything on this list, just I'm going to hit the high points. So 2021 June, we had the Rocky Mountain power outage, and we were the beta test for their community resource center for cutting off power last year. So they came down, set up a community resource center during that outage, and I stayed with them for the 2 days. Saturday and Sunday. We didn't have a lot of traffic, but we had a lot more than we did last time. I think Commissioner Blake and I were there with him last year, and I think we had one person come in and ask questions. This time we had several families come in and want some information and needed some water and things. So I was with Rocky Mountain during that period. And then around the 26th of June, the Forsyth fire started. Because of its forward progress heading north, towards New Harmony, and then at one point I was concerned about Old Irontown, but I was also concerned about Canaryville. I was on that fire and at that fire headquarters for several days, and I stood up all of the NGOs that we would need in case of an evacuation. I was prepared to evacuate Harmony Cliffs ranches down there and Canaryville. So it never happened, luckily. They were able to stop. But if it ever gotten over that ridge line, it would have made a straight run. And my trigger was any fire on our side of the freeway, on our side of 15, I would have immediately evacuated Canaryville. So that was avoided. Enoch has built their new police headquarters, their new station, and they did some cyber work in there. They did some electronics, and I managed to get them a regional reimbursement for over $22,000. It cost them $40,000, and I managed to be able to reimburse them out of regional money for $22,000 of that.
So is it operational then?
Yes, as far as I know. They had an open house, I think.
Don't look at me.
I wasn't
I'm not sure.
I wasn't invited.
I don't know.
I wasn't invited, so I think they had their although I did a walkthrough a couple of weeks ago, and it's pretty impressive. It's a lot of space. Anyway, I got that grant for them. I assisted Perwin in writing an emergency operation plan, which is called for by the legislature. Year before last, called for every political entity had to have an emergency operations plan. So I was able to help them do that. Then we had the consultants on the fire district come by, and I was able to set up meetings with all of the fire chiefs and drove them around and took them and made sure that they got all those face-to-face meetings done. So the state health department called me several weeks ago. They got a couple of kits from the federal government. They're about $80,000 a piece to convert a school bus into an evacuation ambulance with cots, but it converts the entire bus into a huge ambulance. And they have one up in Salt Lake, and they were looking for another site, and they called me and wanted to know if Iron County was willing to host it. I said, absolutely. I called the school district. They offered me a bus. They're getting some new buses in, so I'm going to get one of their old buses, and we'll convert that. It'll be staged here in Iron County, so we'll have about a 20 or 30 person ambulance here in case of a massive disaster. So,
it'll be like the old buses on MASH.
That's what I was saying. That's exactly
what I'm envisioning with the litters.
A little more modern.
Okay.
Yeah, a little more modern, but yeah, kind of. Yeah, they hang from there's a platform, there's a thing, and they hang from those. I worked on a grant for Perwin PD for about $40,000 to get new sidearms and new long guns for Perwin PD. We're still waiting on the results of that. That's from seizure money, state seizure money. So looking at that, I applied for, and we haven't got word yet, on my EMPG grant, and about $36,000. That the emergency management performance grant is almost to the point where they're moving the rural counties out and it looks like the big cities and the big counties are going to start getting that money. They're laying so many different
stipulations.
Stipulations on it, and things that you have to do. That a lot of these, I'm able to do it because this is my job. But for a lot of the small rural counties, the emergency manager is, you know, a fire guy or a deputy who has other jobs, and it's getting really hard to meet their. I've talked to the state about it. They understand, so and at least they understand my heartburn with it. So I was able to finalize the Iron County Sheriff's Office bomb dog. That was a grant proposal that I made last year for a new bomb dog. It's about $40,000. The dog's about $8,000. It's going to come out of Texas, and we're going to get two bomb boxes and training equipment for the dog along with that. So
will that be used in – will we share that with other counties, or will it be used –
Well, we had – in order for the bomb dog to be certified, it has to be attached to a certified bomb squad. And the only certified bomb squad in this part of the country is in Washington County. So we had to develop and sign an MOU with them.
Dog?
Huh?
Do they not have a dog?
I think they've got a couple down there, but I'm not sure that it really is part of the SO down there.
I don't know how they work that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because the dogs.
Actually, we've got several bomb dogs in Iron County. We probably got more than anybody else in the region. So, but we got another one. We need them. You can only run a dog in any situation for about 15 minutes, and then you got to bring it out. And so, if you're doing a big venue, you need more than one dog too. And that was the idea to begin with. So anyway, that's finalized. Sean's in the process of getting all those invoices and stuff sent to Washington County for, and then we'll start getting all that stuff in. And then Friday, last year I recommended, they have a whole lot of new kids up at the Division of Emergency Management at the state level who have college degrees in emergency management, but absolutely not one day of actual, they've never been to a structure fire, much less a disaster. So I made a recommendation last year that they start a mentoring program, send these kids out during blue skies to shadow an emergency manager, and then during disasters, send them down to shadow an emergency manager. And the deputy director came down Friday, and we had a long talk about some of the things that I saw that were needed to be fixed at state, which was a long list, and he understood where I was coming from. But he also asked me to help him develop a mentoring program for the state, for their new people.
What that is they just want George to have his hand in it, so he won't yell at them as much. And you know, George will have a little bit of input into, you know, to try and mitigate the yelling that George does at the state sometimes, which isn't a bad thing.
I just tell him what I see and remind him that I don't work for the governor, that I work for the Iron County Commission.
Nice. That's good.
I love those meetings. They're like, Commissioner Blake, could you get a handle on George? I'm like, oh, no. Heavens, no. We support everything that he says and does with you people. There will be no handles on George. Entertains me.
Any questions, advice,
I guess it,
criticisms?
The question I had, you were talking about the stipulations that the smaller counties are not able to jump through. Is that going to affect their funding for...
Absolutely.
Search and rescue for...
Oh, no, not for search and rescue. Just for the EMP is the Emergency Management Performance Grant, and it's specifically for emergency management. But they've already started impacting. At one time, I had an administrative assistant, but they laid on the requirements that she had to be had to meet every qualification that I did, which meant that she would have had to go through all the schools and go to all the meetings and go to all the conferences that I did, which was not in her original job description. And so after Jennifer and I talked it over, we realized that we couldn't lay that on her. So I already lost my administrative assistant because of their rules. And that was several years ago, and they're just getting progressively worse. And I talked to the deputy director Friday. That was one of the things I said is, you guys are making it so that the small counties can't comply. They just can't.
Why would they do that?
Because they want all the money up there in the big cities and the big counties.
So it's a money and power grab to try to maintain control.
They have way more. I think the bigger counties and cities have a bigger voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've got large staffs that can do all this stuff. You know, they're not. I mean, the only county in this region that has more than one person is Washington County, and they have five people down there. Well, of course, they can do a lot more than most of the other counties can do because they've got people to, you know, put on a job. Whereas, you know, writing that grant and keeping up with the things is just one part of my job. I'm not – they have a grant guy. That's all he does, Coy yeah. Bryant, and he's a Cedar boy, and he – that's all he does is do the grants for them. So, yeah, it's getting harder and harder for small counties to comply with a lot of this stuff. And I'll take one more minute. But when the word came out that FEMA was going to back out of the direct assistance to the state's business during disasters, and someone said to me, well, that'll make your job easier. I said, how do you figure? And they said, well, the money will go to the state. And I said, obviously, you've never dealt with the state. They're as hard to get money out of as the feds are. The only difference is I can jump my truck, and 4 hours I could be in front of somebody's desk. But other than that, it's just as hard to get money out of the state during a disaster. Yeah. So it's hard for the small counties. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
And what we found during the anytime that we've had reimbursement from FEMA, everything gets approved from FEMA, everything's fine, but it has to do a pass-through through the state. We can't get a check from FEMA, we have to get a check from the state, so the money goes to the state. And how, like, average, how long is that money tied up at the state? And then the state gives us a whole bunch of hurdles that we have to jump through, even though it's not state money. Like, the state's horrible to work with.
We've had to have two face-to-face meetings, Commissioner Blake and I, with the people from State Division of Emergency Management from that section that handles those that money. We had to have two face-to-face meetings with them, trying to work out a better system for us to get that money. It's FEMA says, yeah, you're good. You got all the documentation you need. And then the state says, yeah, no.
Even though it's FEMA money. It's not state money.
So hopefully some of that has changed with the DOGE effects that went on earlier. And
I doubt it.
Well, that was on the federal side, not
on the state
side.
That's on the federal side. That was the state. Yeah, the state side, I assume, is still jacked up. But, you know, those were interesting meetings. George did good, though. No one died.
All right. Let's go to Fleet. Wait.
Good morning.
Morning, Wayne.
Morning.
So our budget is overall, we remain under budget so far for the year overall. Our fleet operations is getting up there. We're probably going to be over in it just due to some of the upfitting costs that we weren't foreseeing, having to take some of those vehicles up to PVI after we lost the one employee, but... Our auctions, so we're trying a new platform. I'm sure you guys, I sent that email out, Purple Wave Auctions. which ends September 9th. We put 8 trucks on that just to compare to public surplus to see which one's better. But so far, I mean, they start out low. The prices are starting to come up. Usually the last day is when the bidding starts happening, so I ain't been too worried about it. But it's there's some that are in better shape that are getting up there in price too. So, and then we'll be able to see how that goes. So we're going to put some more on this week on public surplus, so we have a fairly good comparison. Upfitting, so we had, like I said, we had to send 7 trucks up to PVI after we lost Cody. We've still been upfitting some there, some minor upfitting for admin vehicles, a couple for the road department we've been able to do, and we've got 4 left, 3 full patrol trucks, and then 1 more admin upfit. And so we've actually had Dave doing that now. He's pretty good at it. He's super smart, and he's got that system pretty well figured out, so he's been getting those things done. And even though we had to send those up to PVI, we were able to do some of it here. So once they finished most of it up there, we brought them back and had some parts that we were able to get better discounts on, and we threw on there and was able to save still about around $2,000 per truck doing it back here. So, and that's just going to get better and better as the system that they were putting in there is becoming obsolete, so we've been trying to move everything to that newer system. And so once that's happened, I mean, we're just going to be able to move stuff straight over, and it should be even more of a savings. But we still have been saving quite a bit. So
how often is there a major change in that to where things aren't able to switch over to vehicles?
Not very often. I mean, they're always coming up with new things. And
10-year, 15-year.
Basically, it's the siren amplifier is what the change is. And so we were with the 480 system, which had another component, which was a central controller that all the wiring, they had to be connected together. Now they've combined all that in one, and it's not a whole lot more money, but it's less components you have to put in there, and it does quite a bit more. So they're going to that. It's everything's blueprinted to the vehicle, so you're able to put a blueprint link in there to, you know, this door opens, that turns this light on, or just for an example. So things like that. You honk the horn, it changes the siren tone. Put it in park, it puts it back to the regular horn. So that kind of stuff. So we were actually looking at, Ford has a kind of the same thing that they've implemented inside their vehicles, that you get them from the factory that way. We had 2 trucks from the road department that came with a wiring harness with 47 outputs. So you can actually tie it into the vehicle. You don't have to buy that extra equipment. You can just program it right in with Ford's program, right into the vehicle. And so we were kind of maybe looking at some of that with the sheriff's trucks to see if we can cut costs that way too. And we wouldn't have to have some of that stuff in there. We'd be able to use the screen. And so there's some things out there we're looking at. So maintenance, our routine maintenance stuff, everything's been about normal. We haven't seen any major breakdowns or anything like that. We've had a few of the Chevys that have had transmission issues. Solenoids have gone out. So our plan's working. They were all under warranty. We took them to the dealerships and it didn't cost us anything to get them fixed. So some of those trucks are burning oil. The rings were made in China, and they've had a lot of issues with those trucks burning oil. There's some models that have a recall on them. These ones don't. So we're starting to. We bought those in 23. So we're going to try.
What brand are those trucks?
Chevy Silverados, the custom trail bosses. We're going to try to get rid of those. So we've got 4 of them right now that we're going to strip and sell and just try to, before there's a bigger issue with them. So.
How many miles? How many miles was that?
So, around 30 to 40. We've been having the issues with the transmissions. I mean, it's probably less than probably around 10 to 20 with the oil. But we've talked to GM, and they says it's within our spec. So It's been about 1 to 2 quarts per 5,000 miles.
These are deputy trucks, so we've upfitted them and all that. Yeah.
So, yep. But we'll be able to take most of that stuff out of there and move it into another vehicle. So, okay. We were able to do interviews last week and had 2 candidates that we were looking at. We actually just offered it to one this morning. So, we should be back fully staffed by the first of the next pay period. So, 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So, and then we'll just keep doing our thing. Other than that, do you have any questions?
I'm still working on Ron, trying to get something out of CO building on Amber's. It's just still pestering.
I know she's chomping at the bit. She's got...
I'm going to text him right now.
Funding and everything ready to go. She's like, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Woody.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Jennifer.
Jumped the gun, sorry.
Good. I'm just texting Ron Larson. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning. For the HR budget, currently we are well below budget, and we do not anticipate or foresee any budget issues or concern for the rest of this year. Since the last HR report on 5/27/2025, we have hired, posted, and interviewed 13 full-time positions and 7 part-time positions. We have had 7 internal promotions and transfers, and we are currently in the process of hiring 11 full-time positions and 3 part-time positions or seasonal. Points of interest, present turnover for 2025 for the first portion of this year. We are at 10.89% or 27 positions. In comparison for this time of 2024, turnover was 15.33% or 38 positions. Our employee evaluation system has just rolled out, and we're hoping everyone will be on board to be completed by October 1st so we can get all of those evaluations completed and ready to go. I'll be working with Luke in the auditor's office today to kind of start to evaluate all the department head personnel requests so we can kind of get on top of it so we can give you a better overview of what everyone is requesting for the next year, just so you have all the information to present.
Just tell them we're not taking any requests.
Exactly. That's been my goal, but, you know, they don't listen. It's fine.
Just teasing.
So I love that we're doing that. It's kind of a good first start to the budgetary process. Our insurance brokers have reached out to let us know that our premiums will be increasing, and I've kind of planted that seed with you guys already because of the high amount of claims and uprising costs of prescriptions. We've scheduled the insurance committee meeting in September, the end of September, to evaluate those bids. We'll have open enrollment scheduled for the first half of November like we do every year. Workman's comp, EMOD for 2025, the good news is we're down 0.76%, which is even better than last year's 8.87%, which is even better news because it needs to be under 1% to lower our overall costs.
Really,
it's amazing. I'm so happy. And we will be holding an accident review board hearing in October to finalize the open claims that we have for this year. We've had some milestone anniversaries since last quarter, celebrating 5 years, Sam Smith and Aaron Wadley in corrections, Scott Carter in the landfill, and Brandon Rowley in patrol. Celebrating 10 years, Susan Carter in the attorney's office, and Matthew Malachowski in corrections. Celebrating 20 years, Rosa Aldridge in corrections, and celebrating 25 years, Dave Mitchell in patrol, who was able to retire, and his retirement party was amazing last week. He is the epitome of one of the best that I think the sheriff's office has. And for him to have an outstanding career of 25 years just with Iron County is just phenomenal. And he is going to be missed immensely. And I just wish him the best of luck for the rest of his retirement. He deserves it for sure. So that was really cool to see. I've just created some of the tables that I maintain every month, just so you have. Workers' comp, you can kind of see what the trends are for every year. And then on that last page, I included the dashboard from our onboarding as far as when people apply for our positions. It just kind of shows their views versus stats, how many completions that we have for the people that apply for our positions, and then where they come from, like where the best job boards are that they're getting all the information from, like LinkedIn or Google or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just kind of fun. I like having a good spreadsheet for you to look at. And then do you have any questions for me? Perfect.
Me.
Thank you so much.
Very much. Appreciate it. Our next report is from Candace. From Public Defender. I need to call her. She's in court this morning, so I need to give her a call. She's in court over the phone. I can find her number here. Candace. She's not answering. Jennifer, how do you spell? Am I spelling it wrong? I wonder. C A N.
D-A-C-E.
D-A-C-E. Maybe I'm misspelling it. Do you have her number?
R-E-I-D.
Hang on. C A N D.
A-C-E.
Yes. A-C-E. Okay, I was misspelling it. I'm sorry. Let's see if I can get her here. Just a second.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless.
I've got three numbers for her here. Let me see which one. 559-40. Let me see what this one does. I got to get rid of a couple of these.
Three numbers, and she's not at any of them. Huh?
She probably is in court.
Yeah. That's, what was that number again? 59-40?
590.
590-5940?
5940, yeah.
Been forwarded.
Let's try this one. I think that's the one you gave me. That's my work.
Hi, this is Candace.
Candace, I don't know why I have three cell phone numbers in my phone for you, but I finally got you.
one was probably my office line, but yeah, thanks for accommodating via phone. I'm just sitting in front of the courthouse.
Okay. Well, you're on. We're ready for your report. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for accommodating me. As I said, there's not a lot of concern or problem with my budget with my department. Things are plugging along just fine. We did start our new hire in July. His name is Rick, and he's, I think, getting along really well. I'm hopeful. We've kind of struggled with that position and creating, you know, tenure longevity, but I'm hopeful with this new hire that he likes it and will stay. But no other concerns with the budget, and things are on track. Did you guys have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
I don't.
We appreciate that good report. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. You have a great day, Candace.
Yep. Bye.
We'll see you. All right, Commissioner Robinson, you want to go next?
Had another meeting with the 25-year plan for the fairgrounds. That's going to be presented at the fair. They're supposed to have a nice big picture of what we're looking toward and that. So that'll be available at the fair this coming week. And that's really exciting to see that progress. Also had several meetings with the jail site. Do you want to go into that or with the compaction? What do we have? 3-4 meetings over the last 2 weeks at the jail site and issues that are ongoing there and continue working through that. Boring under the railroad is scheduled, I believe, for the 28th for the sewer line. But things are progressing there and hopefully going to start progressing really quickly here shortly.
Very good. Commissioner Blake?
Got a couple of things. So met again with the America 250 committee. I got our flag back from SCU Special Collections with a little bit of documentation and some things there. We need to figure out, I guess, what event we want to unveil it, and we need to figure out the display that you're going to help take care of. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think we're in a big hurry, but we'll figure that out. Maria and I saw Maria walk in, visited with SU last week, toured their sports facilities to look at their requests for the money that we've tentatively approved them to kind of put eyeballs on exactly what they're looking at. In that meeting, we also met with Mary Pearson, who's the SU CFO, to discuss money, to discuss exactly what we're looking at. John Oglesby was also with us in those and helped facilitate those meetings. We met with our restaurant board. We also had a lengthy discussion about the about those funds. We also with the restaurant board. So our grant season is coming up. Those grant requests for that board. We've updated the application process. We've actually made it tougher. We're going to require more, I guess, accountability to make sure that those funds are actually meeting the goal of the board, which is basically twofold. Well, basically onefold overall, and that's to provide customers to restaurants, to bring events and things that are gonna bring revenue to our restaurants, because that's where all of that money comes from, that revenue. So gearing up for that upcoming grant process. Last Wednesday, I facilitated some meetings with Senator Curtis's staff. We met with the Southern Utah Veterans Association for an update and a look at the National Cemetery. But I think the National Cemetery is slated for ribbon cutting, I believe, November 10th. Have you guys gotten any invite? Okay, we'll make sure that happens as well.
That's an add-on to what they've already done?
That's the opening of the new cemetery.
Opening, okay.
Yeah,
they were going to expand it already, weren't they?
Well, they've got it.
They've acquired more property.
Yeah, they acquired more property. I don't know what. I know that they've got some extra property to expand. I know that they've got their original footprint done. It's really cool.
That's about the one above Home Depot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. But I believe it's the Chuck was going to make sure that we got those invites, but I believe that it's November 10th off the top of my head. We met here at the Parowan Courthouse, our elected officials were invited, folks from Parowan, Paraguna, Brianhead, to come and just kind of had an open forum with those staffers to talk about their issues and get updates from them. After we met here, we met with BZI and some of their management, talk about some of their issues. Then we met with Cedar City, talked about some flooding issues, water retention issues, talked about the airport. We really have a need to have a controlled tower, our airport. We're the fourth busiest airport in the state. I can't remember if we're third or fourth. We don't have controlled airspace. We don't have an air traffic control tower, which is pretty dangerous.
How do they do it without a tower?
They don't. Like, it's just all they keep.
Oh, they all talk to each other or mm-hmm. in the sky and just say, hey, I'm landing next or what?
I don't know exactly how it works, but it's uncontrolled airspace. So we don't. So we've got our, we've got commercial air service. We've got SUU. We've got fire. We've got private air service all jockeying around the airport with uncontrolled airspace. So to get an air traffic control tower is a big deal, and it's a big lift. And we've been working on it for years, actually, with the airport board and with Cedar City, with the FAA. All the parties involved have been working on it for a long time. So this was just kind of an ask to, you know, if they can do anything on the federal side with the FAA to push things a little bit. And then we met with SU Aviation, folks, Canaryville Town, also were invited to that meeting. I got them there, made introductions, and then I left. So I don't know what they talked about there, but, it was a really good, productive day. Everybody that I talked to was, they were glad for that opportunity, and Senator Curtis's office felt good about making some local contacts. So it turned out good. That's all I've got.
I wasn't able to go to Senator Curtis's deal.
I was out of town. Just
couldn't make it. Did it go good?
Yeah, it went really good. Yep, we did all those. I dragged them all over the place and made introductions to all those places, and then kind of sat in the corner.
That's good.
Said I'm here to facilitate. I did. We had some issues that Maria brought up with tourism and visas and stuff, and we had that conversation. No, it went really well though. I think we made some good relationships there. So it was good.
So the letter that with my report, the letter that we put out as an Iron County Commission that we all signed regarding support of a five-county resolution on fire and forest management, it went viral, that letter. It was shared like 80 times, and there's a lot of interest in that right now. We did pass the resolution. Darren Bushman, our executive director for Five County, put together a resolution, which we passed at our last steering committee meeting. Commissioner Pollack from Garfield County will hand deliver that to the director of the Forest Service. I'm going to try to go if I can. I'm not sure I can make it or not, but I'm going to try. And we've also lined up some other meetings back there for him to talk about forest management. We had something kind of neat happen last week in conjunction with forest management. We had an invite. Chad Booth called me last Sunday, texted me out of the blue and just said, hey, give me a call. So I called him Sunday night, and he invited me to come with some other commissioners from some of the other five counties, some of our steering committee. Just Jerry Taylor and I, Darren Bushman, and Dennis Blackburn from Wayne County. We ended up traveling over to, it's called the Range Valley Ranch. It's about 10,200 foot elevation. It's above East Carbon. If you go up that canyon, just past Sunnyside, up that canyon, really, really cool experience. But there's a guy up there named Mike Sapiris, and I probably butchered his last name, but he invited us up there. He's got a really unique place up there. He's got about 2,000 acre ranch. He's really passionate about forest management, and he's done a lot of testing on his own property, which has proven to the Forest Service that these techniques work. One of the things that they struggle with in the Forest Service is when they try to regrow aspen stands, when those saplings are coming up, the deer and elk absolutely love them, and they just eat them to the ground. And so what they've done and they've proven works is they take a dozer and they push a lot of the undergrowth up into windrows around these stands that they plant or try to cultivate and grow again. And these windrows make it hard for the wildlife to get through in places so that, and it's proven because we saw it with our own eyes where the aspen were really doing well in those areas where they protected it. That's a technique he used. They've done some controlled burns on his ranch. They've reseeded, replanted. It was really a neat experience because he took us around his ranch and showed us, hey, this worked, this didn't, you know, and so he's also started a company called, what's the name of his company? It is 106 Reforestation, and they kind of specialize in wildlife mitigation, resource protection, habitat restoration, and aspen regeneration. And he's quite a wealthy individual, and he's kind of started this other company along with his other companies he owns. And he's going to – what he does up here, when we got up there, the first thing they did is he's got a flagpole that is incredible. It's 106 feet high. It's the highest flagpole west of the Mississippi. Wow. And he asked us to help. He had about four hands there, and he asked us, Chad Booth, and then the four of us that were there, he asked us to help him raise this flag. And this flag is 40 by 80. So it's 3,200 square feet. It's bigger than most houses.
Wow.
And I posted the video on my Paul Cousins Facebook page if you want to watch it. It's really amazing. But we were, of course, we didn't want it to touch the ground. So we were pulling it out of this big container. And as the wind started catching it, it was literally lifting us off the ground. And anyway, we got it out of the box, and it's one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had, and to see that flag, and you'll have to watch the video. It's really amazing. But what they do is they have ceremonies. They have victims of PTSD veterans that come up there, and they work with them and help them heal. And they have seminars and different things and work with them, and they have that SAG flag ceremony every time they come up. But it was a choice experience. But he showed us around his ranch. And then on the way down at the end of the day, we actually had lunch in his lodge up there, and then he called an expert back east that was like analyzing the Monroe fire and maybe what worked and what didn't, and they're going to analyze and go through that and try to work with the Forest Service on some techniques that work and some that don't. And so we did all that, and then we came down the mountain on our way down. There's a quarry about halfway down. It's interesting because it's called natural asphalt, and with the oils that are in the earth in the sand, it's in rock form, but once you heat that up, it becomes asphalt. And if they were to excavate that, they would have enough asphalt to pave a 60-foot road around the earth three times. There's a lot of it up there. And I don't know how they'd ever use it or process it, but anyway, it was very interesting. And then we went down into Wellington, and he's creating a biochar machine, and this is a portable machine that fits on a 40-foot flatbed, and they put baskets of forest waste, logs, whatever, and they put it in this biochar machine, and it heats it up to about 960 degrees, and it basically turns the material to charcoal. It's biochar. And they use it for fertilizer. They use it there's a lot of uses for it. And they also get carbon credits because it eliminates the carbon process through burning and things. So it doesn't burn it, but it turns it to charcoal while it's in this container. And then when they pull it out, they can bury it. It retains water. Really an interesting process. But they're going to be taking that up to his ranch when it's complete. It's nearly complete. And doing some of this they'll make a lot of these and have them in areas in the forest where they can put materials in and turn it into biochar. And it was really a fascinating process. But he's very passionate. And the neat thing about this is he's creating this company for this forest management and the biochar machine and things. And he's going to give that to the veterans that he works with, and they're going to run the company. So it gives them a job, gives them a purpose, and really, really a neat individual, and it was a great, great experience. And Marie, I'm glad you're here. Frank Nichols stopped by last week with a paper, and I'm sure you've talked to this gentleman that wants to expand the shooting range to the west. Frank Nichols is working with him. He wants to do a big deal out there. Frank was excited about it. Frank's willing to help him with some property. Frank's question was, can they legally go through our property? I talked to Ken. Ken Carpenter said he was okay with it as long as they fenced off his area so that people couldn't go in and vandalize it. So it is a RS-2477 road, so legally I think, according to Rich Wilson, I think it is a legal road that they can access. I know that it might be anyway. I wanted to talk to you about that. But Ken was a little bit concerned, but he said if they were willing to fence off his area where they do the shooting for the deputies and that, so people can't go. They spend a lot of money, fixing that up, and they don't want people in there shooting their targets up and different things, silhouettes. So that's something that, anyway, that's something that Frank came to and talked to me about. So may want to visit about that. Anyway, that's about all I have for a report. Let's see, what time is it? It's five after.
Five after.
Let's take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll resume our meeting. Thank you.
I think we're good.
Very good. We'll go ahead and resume our 10 o'clock County Commission meeting. Welcome those who have joined us. We'll start off with item number one, public comments. This is a three-minute time limit per speaker for public comment. If you want to speak, please state your name. Seeing none, we'll go to number two, update and report of the 2025 Utah Summer Games by John Oglesby. Thank you, John.
Well, good morning, Commissioner Cousins, Commissioner Robinson, Commissioner Blake. It is a pleasure to be here today. And just with data coming in fresh off the press last week, final data from this year's Summer Games, wanted to come in, just give a brief report as well as just a thanks for a great year that we had with the Utah Summer Games and even start previewing a little bit of what's to come in 2026 as well as answer any questions. Before I start, just really want to say continued thank you to all of you as commissioners and the support of Iron County. Marie is here as well. We truly could not do what we do. We could not have made the strides that we've made over the past couple of years without the support of the county through Visit Cedar City Brian Head. It's really been an incredible story of love, of investment, of continued support that I think has been able to lead to a lot of positive things for the county. And again, I'm tremendously grateful to Maria for her support, but also tremendously grateful to her being a tremendous steward for the county in ensuring that the interests of lodgers and restaurant owners, as well as everyday citizens, is represented in terms of the decisions we're making with the games. And because of her support, because of all of your collective support, I think we had a pretty great success story to tell in terms of what took place in 2025. And so just prepared a short deck to be able to give some credence to some of the numbers and show the impact that we were able to make this year, and grateful. Do I have the ability to scroll forward on this? Okay, so we'll just kind of roll through some quick facts that I want to go over. So this year we had 10,470 athletes that competed from around the state of Utah in the games this year. Kind of some exciting numbers to look at in terms of that. When you look at just the reach of the Utah Summer Games, when you see 27 of 29 counties in the state that are represented in this year's Summer Games, we missed out on Rich and Daggett this year. Rich is 7-on-7 football team, last minute wasn't able to come, so we missed out on Rich. We're looking at potentially doing some incentives to get Manila High School to come down so we can go 29 for 29 next year. But overall, when you look at the scope of what we're doing, representative of really the entire state of Utah, as well as some neighboring states that we'll talk about here in a minute, it's pretty remarkable.
That's amazing.
Just the draw that we're able to bring. When you look at that, a record 1,437 people coming from outside the state of Utah. We had a competitor travel in this year from the U.S. Virgin Islands to compete in our track and field events, which was a really cool story to be able to hear about. But when you look at the growth of what we're seeing, the state of Nevada is a huge point of emphasis for us in terms of our out-of-state growth. We've made some investment in growing relationships in Nevada with a couple notable partners, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But when you look at overall, what we're trying to do is, again, we're trying to be a huge cog in Iron County's growth from a destination standpoint, but particularly from a sports tourism standpoint. And this year, I think, was really encouraging to see how some of those investments have really led to some positive outcomes. A few other things I wanted to note. 5,679 athletes coming from outside of the five county area, which I think is important to think about in terms of our growth. And then over 8,000 athletes coming from outside Iron County. I commonly will get that when I visit with partners or different people from around the state of, hey, this is kind of a just Southern Utah, just a Cedar City, Iron County thing. Well, no, the numbers show that that's always a base of where we have, but over 80% of our competitors don't live in Iron County, which shows the economic impact that we're able to generate through the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games. I think one other note, and Maria has played a large role in helping us really get some motivation in these pieces, is the games for so long were really just kind of this property that, outside of a couple events here and there, took place in early June. You now look, we have major events taking place basically from Memorial Day to the 4th of July, with other events taking place throughout the calendar year. That growth of opportunity, that growth of an expansion in our events has really led to, in my opinion, a real positive element where it's a sustainable business venture that benefits lodgers and restaurant owners and other hospitality groups throughout the county. And so wanted to drop that note in there for sure. We'll move on to the next slide here and just go over a couple other items that I think I want to talk about the Special Olympics Utah partnership really quick. I know Visit Cedar City Brian Head was able to have a large role in that, as well as a large exposure role at that event. I know some of the commissioners were able to get involved. The Special Olympics Utah partnership, I think, is the type of example of an evergreen partnership that we're really trying to go to. If you look at the success we had just in and of ourselves with the Utah Summer Games. And then on top of that, the Special Olympics Utah athlete participant count isn't included in our numbers. So then you add an additional 500 athletes that we're able to put on top of that, plus their supporters, plus their families who are coming into town. This year's Special Olympics Utah events took place the weekend after Memorial Day. And again, it just cumulatively adds to the type of impact and growth that we're seeing. We're really excited about the future development of the Special Olympics Utah partnership. They've already requested us for space for an additional 100 athletes to be in the SUU dorms this year. Because of some space constraints we have there, that then spills into our lodging community and all of their supporters. So I think when you look right there at already year over year, a 20% growth that they're requesting, that's a positive thing. And we're excited. They're excited to host some other events throughout the year on the SUU campus, bringing in some Special Olympics Nevada athletes as well to do a cross border war type setup in 3-on-3 basketball. And so anyway, Special Olympics Utah, we're tremendously bullish as we are 1 year of a 3-year deal, and already we're in discussions for an extension of that 3-year term to be much longer in that partnership. Want to talk as well for a minute about the Las Vegas Raiders partnership, which I think really added a great deal to our opening ceremony events for the games, but I think it added a great deal to the games in general. As we get into the football space, when you see year one right out of the chutes, we have 21 7-on-7 football teams that participated in the first year of having that in the summer games, with some of those being out-of-state teams as well. So many positive things to talk about with this partnership. I think the visibility that the games received, that SUU received, that I think the entire county received because of the Raiders being part of that. I think their investment in our football events, both on the 7-on-7 side as well as the girls flag football side, I think it, again, is a tremendous example of the type of people that we're trying to work with to grow, not only the games, but I think the impression that people have of the county in general. And we're already in discussion of what the 2026 is going to look like, that with the Raiders' involvement and support, and then excited as well about some other opportunities and ventures that the Raiders may have to present here in the coming years. And we're excited to continue those discussions with them as a great partner. Pushing forward, wanted to just give a highlight of a few of our top sports. Girls fast pitch softball, we had 118 teams this year, which is the largest we've ever had. It forced us to play all the way from Hurricane up here to Parowan. So that weekend, which was also a weekend, the opening ceremony weekend, where we had some torrential rain, saw us basically spanning most of the 5-county region to be able to fit our softball events in. I want to give special thanks out to Enoch City. Enoch City, with some support from the county and other measures, was able to get their field this year playable to a level where Enoch was a very positive add for us to have an additional field where we were able to put some teams. And so that has led us to continue to grow. We're trying to admittedly get creative about how we're scheduling facilities, how we're trying to work with facilities, because we're at a point where we're coming up on that place that no event organizer wants to be at, where you're at almost to sell out. And so hopefully we can work on some continued things, not only here in Iron County, but in the region, to be able to get some growth in that space. Youth soccer continues to be strong. We're excited with our efforts to get involved with some teams down in Southern Nevada and some groups down there to get more out-of-state teams to grow to that. And then our high school basketball experience continues to keep growing year after year, which we had a big growth year over year 2 years ago. We're able to sustain that for this year and then looking to continue to add some space there. And then wrestling. Wrestling's really fun for us because that's an event that actually takes place in March, which is at a time that is of key interest for the county from a hotel perspective and a restaurant perspective and driving revenue. We have a lot of involvement from folks outside of Iron County that are part of that. And we're excited to continue to grow that sport, specifically this year with the sport of USA Wrestling and some other groups that we're working with. And so pushing forward, what's coming in 2026 next year is going to be the 40th anniversary of the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games. And so we're excited to already be working on a number of measures which will celebrate that and really share that. We've got a number of UHSAA championship events that we've already secured as well. Toast for the High School Activities Association, a state football semifinals, which will take place the first week in November, and then the 3A state basketball tournament that will take place at the end of February. We're really excited about the drill team invitational that we were able to add last year. This comes in the heart of December, which is, again, a time when our hotel partners definitely enjoy having folks into town. Year one, we as a first-year event, were already looked at as one of the top events in the state, which I think is a tremendous testament to really the support that we get from partners like the county in putting that on. And so we saw an increase to 30 teams, most of whom will come from outside of Iron County, that will come in December to take place in our drill invitational. We're really excited about hosting that. A few sports that we're looking at adding next year. In fact, we got an 8 o'clock meeting tonight at our office meeting with one of these groups, looking at getting into the sevens rugby space, as well as getting into outdoor volleyball. One thing that I will note, I've been getting this question about lacrosse. We are very eager to add lacrosse as soon as we have field space in the county to be able to manage that event within our scheduled time frame. So as soon as we have that field space available and ready to be able to do that, we will look at getting into that space. But overall, as we look at last year, moving into next year, our prospects of where we're going are incredibly bright. I think we're at a really positive time in terms of where the games are at. And as we continue to add facilities and continue to add other infrastructure, that's going to allow us to go out and create additional business that is new and additive for our county.
How soon will the fields be ready, the Cedar City's building out there, Iron West?
That timeline keeps moving around a little bit. Speaking with the city, I know there was hope that it would be ready for next summer. I didn't get that sense of confidence in visiting with them recently, and so I think it's a TBD for sure. And I think we're a TBD on adding some additional field space events. Once those are ready, I think we'll move pretty aggressively to get some additional sports added. But more or less, that's a report of this year's games. And so if any of you have any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, happy to hear them. Happy to take note of those as we get ready for planning for next year.
This might be a Maria question, but what do you figure the economic impact is on Iron County with the summer games?
Miss, will you please step to the mic so we can have you on record?
I'll cede the microphone here.
Thank you.
So we ran some preliminary numbers for this last games, and it was like $17 million over the course of the whole month of June is what we're thinking.
That's pretty amazing.
So that number again?
$17 million in economic impact. So we're going to run those numbers again just to make sure we're looking at them correctly, but because we had to run them really quickly for another report. And so, but yeah.
Good job.
Up there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just on the Utah. So we just ran the numbers on the Utah on the basketball tournament, and it was like 1.3 for that weekend.
Wow. So. That's awesome.
Anyways,
good job.
But I do want to say that we are, just since I'm up here, I do want to express my sincere appreciation to John and the Utah Summer Games and what they've been doing. We have had just an incredible time working with that organization, and just appreciate the fact that they're very sensitive to bringing economic impact to the county and, you know, bringing about growth. And so it's been really great working with John and the group. So we're very appreciative.
Great work to both of you.
Good job.
I just had one question. What, outdoor volleyball, is that like a beach type volleyball or
so
out?
So
I don't know what the difference
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we're trying to move more in the grass space. Just okay. It's a lot easier just okay. because basically
I don't know where we had any beaches if we had the
imports. Yeah, no, that's that was going to be part of a future facility ask. No. I think right now we're in the grass space of trying to get that established. I think we've had questions over the years from people about beach volleyball. SUU's just got a couple courts, but that's not really conducive to holding a large-scale event. So grass, because there's a sizable community of people in southern Utah, as well as some folks around the state and eastern Nevada, the place seems to be the best growth market to get into. So.
I know that years ago when I was in charge of building the Fourth North behind the church, that big park, we put in a volleyball, a sand volleyball, but I'm not sure what kind of shape it is. I don't know if you could use that.
Yeah, sand volleyball, I'll tell you, the courts are they're hard to maintain. And the clientele is, it's not just any type of sand you can throw in there to play.
Exactly. It's the wind blows it out, and it's
I think the specifications for the type of sand and stuff you need to use is most beaches aren't even technically eligible to be used for beach volleyball.
Wow.
Because of how fine the sand. So anyways, that's getting in the weeds on that, no pun intended. But, we're excited.
The grass was a venue or I played in the grass volleyball tournament in 91. 91 or 92.
So my big question that I have for you, Commissioner Robinson, are you going to play in the 2026?
Absolutely.
I did. Okay, there we go. So we've got one registration for a team right there.
Where are your Cowboys?
Which is always good to know for me and my job of making sure we got customers. So it'll be good to have that back and good to have you. So there's no other questions. Just appreciate you all so much. Thanks
good for
job.
We appreciate you and what you do.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll go to the item number 3, discussion and possible approval of Iron County Economic Development Advisory Board recommendations for the GOEO Rural County Grant applications.
Yeah. I like John's tactics to commit you right there on the dais. Right. Commissioners.
It might hurt a lot more than it did in 91. But
yeah, that may be so. Commissioners, this is something we do every year. Every year we receive $200,000 from the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity that's specifically supposed to be used for economic development initiatives. Generally, those initiatives have focused on small business. And so what we have here is just a list. A lot of these are reoccurring. We did have $50,000 as an EDA match grant that we were using with SUU for the last 3 years. That opened up $50,000, and I'll highlight the recommendations of our committee here. One correction on this staff report and in our chair, Joni Anderson's letter, we had marked James Molinol as the vice chair, and it's actually Brett Hauser with Brian Head, who's our vice chair. But I'll just run through these real quick, see if you have any questions. I believe you can approve this just by consent. All this is saying is, yeah, we're good with their recommendation for the application, but it may be worthwhile to just approve it by motion as well. But so each year, $50,000 goes to the Innovation Center, the Cedar City Business and Innovation Center, which is our primary support system for small business. In fact, a lot of those small business requests that I get in my office, I tell them, we help fund the Small Business Center to provide you more one-on-one resources. The $2,000 is for the Women in Business Conference, just to support their conference. That's something new this year, or at least our allocation. That's those sponsorship dollars. $65,000 to the Small Business Grant Program, which has been running for the last, I think this will be the fourth year, and each year we get over 40 applications, upwards of $1 million+ of projects total. And so the small amount that we can contribute, for example, Fire and Smoke opened right there off of Main Street, and it's their second location in the county, and that made a significant difference for them to be able to open that second location. And then we've got a variety of small manufacturers to bakers to you name it that have benefited from that grant. The facade sign and tenant program is a program to just improve signage and things like that, the outward facing on our main streets like Cedar Main Street, Parowan Main Street. The beautification grant program, this is new. My assistant, Tricia Harris, recommended this. This is if a small business wants to, like on the main streets, want
This is to help beautify Main Street and meet our Main Street requirements that both Parowan and Cedar City have to meet. But if a small business doesn't need a new sign or doesn't need to improve like the facade on their business, there's a little bit of funding where they could request a match for putting a bench or flower pots out in front just to make it more aesthetically appealing. Then the Main Street, Cedar City Main Street program, Main Street Parowan program, both those programs have requirements for us to maintain our national Main Street status, and that funding is simply to allocate to help go towards some of those requirements. Placer AI is a software that myself and the Office of Tourism or the Bureau of Tourism is what you go by. Anyways, we use this software to identify like participants at the summer games or at our events, to identify habits, shopping habits, to help then help us know how to grow our events, but also to help me recruit businesses. And we talked about Winco earlier. Some of this data is crucial in saying, okay, here's what we have coming in. So for example, in a population that we have here in the county, 65,000, well, Costco wants 110,000 population in 5 mile radius. But I'm able to show with Placer AI data that we're the number one grossing Walmart in the state and the number two for visitations in the state. I'm able to show how we get that, and it doesn't meet your stereotypical market analysis. So that software, my committee said, well, you're paying for that just out of your budget. Why not allocate some of this grant funding to just pay for that? And that frees up your budget for the community outreach and some of these other recruitment needs that we have. The Economic Development and Tourism podcast, which was wildly successful, it not only in helping inform potential recruitments, but locally. One of the hard things, and you guys know this about economic development, is we can't always talk about what we're doing. But what this does is it helps us promote our existing businesses, and it helps with retention of our existing businesses, and then it helps those businesses looking to come here to say, oh, this is a community that supports our local businesses. We've had everything from our major manufacturers to our small historic downtown buildings to Mindy Benson from SUU. We've had John Oglesby. We've had a variety. It's a way for the community to feel better informed about what's going on in our economic development efforts. The next couple things, advertising on buses. So in partnership with Brian Head, Tourism Office, Cedar City, you know, we have the Cedar City Cats buses, right? And a lot of people, their impression of that, and this was my thought, or this is what I thought it was when I first moved here. I thought they were buses for assisted living when they were going around town. And so one of the things that we've talked about is let's fully wrap those buses with all the beautiful tourism, like Red Rock, skiing, those sorts of things, so people know this is an actual public transportation system. And Cedar City has been doing a study for their bus transportation. And so my office, this grant, Brian Head and Tourism, we're all going to put in together, and this is a portion from that grant to go toward wrapping all those buses and better promoting that it's a public transportation system. So these next couple were requests from local entities that deal with economic development. So the Iron County or the Iron Leaders Academy sponsorship. So that is a leadership program amongst businesses and other community leaders. And there's a cost associated with that. And this $4,000 helps provide some of the sponsorship to cover some of those costs. The Cedar City Chamber of Commerce, as you know, they have a new president and CEO. Some of the financials with the Chamber of Commerce were behind. And they needed, and they've had a lot of staff turnover the last year or so. And so what they needed was assistance to be able to get a new events person. And then the idea is that this is 1 year time to assist them with the events person. And then as they get the events things rolling better, it'll be self-funded like it has been in the past. But this is helping them get back on track. And then Future Ready, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Future Ready program. It's a program that is basically providing resources. So they go to Kanab, they go to Beaver, they go to Cedar City, they go to basically the five county region, at least within our area, and do courses that help certify some of these businesses and help them run their businesses more efficiently. And it has proven very successful. It has it's a partnership with some of the universities. And so they were requesting $6,000 to kind of help support that program. I will leave that there and just say that this is reviewed by our committee, and these were their recommendations on how to use continuing funds, as well as that $50,000 that opened up, how to allocate those funds. So I'll leave room for any questions, or if not, I guess I'll look for a motion.
Any questions?
No. I sit on that committee. I'm familiar with everything he said is what it's all true.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, Mike.
Hey.
All right.
Commissioner Blake.
Motion.
Make a motion to approve the Iron County Economic Development Advisory Board recommendations for the GOEO Rural County Grant applications.
Second.
They moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All thanks, right, commission members, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We'll go to number five. Number four has been nixed. We'll go to five, discussion and possible approval for an Economic Development Administration Disaster Supplement Grant, U.S. Department of Commerce, U.S. Economic Development Administration, year 2025. Is Rich, I texted him and I haven't heard back. I
haven't seen him walk by.
Do you know anything about that? Let's hold off on five and go to six, because I've already signed six, so that's more of a ratification. Discussion and possible approval of a right-of-way and easement grant with Questar Gas Company, DBA, Enbridge Gas, Utah. So we worked out the details. We went back and forth with some language. Rich felt comfortable. I felt comfortable. That's 27 feet in the ground. Our main thing is we didn't want to have to call them to go work on our own ditch if there was a flooding emergency.
Yeah,
we got that ironed out.
Oh, good.
So I think we're good to go. We just need to ratify that, because I've already signed it. So
great.
So I'll entertain a motion to ratify that. Is that correct?
Yes, and I didn't realize it was a ratification until Thursday after.
He just came and we just signed it. It was just a no-brainer. So is that okay if we just change that to ratification? Okay. So all right. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move for approval of ratification of a right-of-way and easement grant with Questar Gas Company, DBA, Enbridge Gas, Utah.
Second that motion.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And they're just, if you turn there left on off of 56 on Westview, you can see they're roaring to go there.
Yeah. So. I played out on the ground right now, ready to.
Hey, Siri, call Rich Wilson, engineer. Mike, you want to go seven? Discussion and possible approval on resolution 2025-7.
Jonathan with the
Commissioner Cousins, I'm sorry this is really out of the ordinary, but there was one part on my item that I forgot to mention.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to wait a second? Or
Commissioner?
David.
Rich, sorry. One sec. Just stay there. Rich, hey, we're in commission meeting. We just ratified number six, which was that approval, right-of-way approval I signed. So we ratified that.
Yes.
But you had number five, the discussion and possible approval for an Economic Development Administration Disaster Supplement Grant, U.S. Department of Commerce, U.S. You want to address that over the mic now?
Didn't Cedar City send anybody?
No.
No.
They're asking us to be a co-sponsor. No money, no commitment from us financially. Just So all that is their grant, not our grant.
I can speak to that as well.
They're looking for a grant.
You can speak to it.
Asking us.
So David Johnson is here with the Economic Development. He said he can speak to it, Rich. So
have him do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He knows what they're doing.
Rich.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Do you just want to touch on the technical side of it, though?
You want to touch on the technical side real quick, David said?
I don't have any information. I was just
okay. I'll give it a stab on the technical.
What we'll do then, Rich, is we'll vote for it so we know what's in it. Is that how they do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. See you.
Yep. Bye.
Sorry.
I didn't know that they had asked to put that on the agenda today, but I can speak to that because I've been I've been helping the city manager, Paul Bittman, put together the CDA grant. And essentially, it's just for a line to create looping and redundancy there at Port 15. There's money that was specifically after the flooding, what was it, 3 years ago now?
21,
yeah, 4 years ago. After that flooding, Iron County was designated, from what I understand, as a disaster area. And so they allocated funding specifically for the Iron County area. And this is a project in which we could receive funding to help create redundancies with the utilities out there. And so, yeah, Cedar City is just simply looking for Iron County to say, yeah, we'll partner and support this project, is my understanding. So.
So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I know Port 15 is also doing the same.
So I'll entertain a motion on 5.
I'd make a motion to approve for approval for a Economic Development Administration Disaster Supplement Grant, U.S. Department of Commerce and U.S. Economic Development Administration for year 2025.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no worries. And then there was just the other item.
And 7.
Well, what was
the he has one.
Or are you?
Yeah, yeah, if you want to go back up to my original agenda item, one of the things that, and this is only something I think we need consent on right now, but there's, so that the one we talked about was the rural county grant application, but a part of those GOEO grants is what's called the Rural Communities Opportunity Grant. Sorry, I'm trying to think of all the acronyms and they're both similar. Essentially, what it is every county and municipality can request up to $600,000 to support any kind of project, infrastructure project, a tourism type project, as long as it has that economic development element to it. And so right now we're not formally submitting the application, we're submitting an intent to apply. And that intent to apply is for a facility in partnership with SUU and the Office of Tourism. They can probably speak more in depth on that if you have questions right now. But I think we just need, we were just looking for consent essentially to say, yeah, go ahead and move forward with that intent to apply. And then before we do the official application, we'll come to you again and say, okay, we're putting in the application. Here's a little more details on our application. That's all right.
So that doesn't necessarily need a motion, but just a
It's
ominous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consent to support a new facility with that partnership with SUU.
Okay,
That sounds good to me.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Just wanted to get that. Maria reminded me as I walked down. She's like, "You didn't talk about us." And so, anyway. Yeah. Sorry for the unorthodox interruption, but thank you.
Oh, you're good. Thank you. All right, so we're at number 7, Mike.
So I can talk about 7. This is for Danny Stewart, who's not able to be here today. But what this is so think about, we've authorized the Inland Port Authority. We've offered the authorized those UEPA areas. So when an organization, when a business fulfills their portion of the contract with the Inland Port and with the county to be I don't know the word I'm looking for, to qualify for that incentive, then that there's actually a trigger date that we need to approve by resolution, just to make sure that basically we say that these guys have met their obligations, and so we need to do a trigger to have that so that they can receive those incentives. And in this case, there's two entities who have met those requirements. Number one is Hive Plastics. Hive Plastics is in the Silver Hills Industrial Miner Subdivision, and they have met those requirements to trigger those incentives. The other one is Nautilus One, and they are in Lot 31 of the BZI Innovation Park. So we need to approve a resolution that would allow those to trigger those incentives.
So even though BZI, that's the inland port, the 800 acres,
mm-hmm.
800 plus, as these businesses come in, we need to vote again that they're actually in that.
Not that they're in it, but they've
qualify.
They've qualified. They've done what they need to do they've actually got to be in, have infrastructure, be up and running, type of a thing to trigger their portion.
Kind of a post performance mm-hmm. type deal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Good. All right.
I guess I'll make a motion.
So what's the I'll let you go through.
Move for approval of Resolution 2025-7, a resolution to trigger parcels in the Iron County Springs Inland Port, and those specific parcels are, my computer's kind of jumpy, those specific parcels are, I'm trying to figure out what I need to read and what I don't.
E-0179, is that the first one?
Yeah, so the first one is Hive Plastics. I'm just going to read it, what it says right here. File number 16664-00001, tax ID number E-179-0009. And a bunch of, and then four more zeros, and then E-0182-0001-4 more zeros. And tax account number 0498312, and that's in the Silver Hills Industrial Miner Subdivision for Hive Plastics. The second one being Nautilus 1 with a tax ID number of E-0174-0031-00AM. Tax account number 0503303. And this is lot 31 of the BZI Innovation Park.
Okay. That there was just on the first one on Hive Plastics, it was, you missed a zero. I don't know if it matters. E-0179.
Okay.
But I don't know if it matters. But.
He added a few too, I think.
I could have. There's a lot of zeros.
Yeah. I'd second that motion.
You'll verify that.
Good.
Straighten us out.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, personnel.
Hello again.
Hello.
Breanne Clark was selected from the most recent competitive interview and selection process to transfer from a full-time DMV clerk to a full-time legal assistant at the attorney's office. And I originally put on the agenda that it would be approval of that Monday, but since she is already an employee, it will be effective 8/31/2025. And her pay will remain as both positions are within the same stepping grade. So.
Okay. So does that bring us up to what we need in the DMV? Or are we adding one? We're adding one, right?
We just hired from our last pool to replace Breanne. Okay. And that will be on the next agenda.
We'll have the same amount?
Are we looking
to possibly add another since they're
I
so busy?
I think that's going to be requested for the 2026 year.
Okay.
But as of right now, that feeling of Breanne's spot should make us back to where we need to be.
Because they're absolutely slammed.
Always. So. Yeah. They do such a good job there.
They do. Okay.
Good. Make them. You ready?
Yep.
Make a motion to approve the transfer of Breanne Clark from full-time Cedar City DMV technician to a full-time legal assistant beginning 8/31/2025.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any county boards or... I don't think there's a closed session or anything, is there?
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
I don't got nothing.
Right. Okay. Right. The chair will declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
10:55. That's amazing. 59, sorry.
I do have one.
Oh, I have, yeah. Oops. Hey, Dave. Dave, can you wait just a sec? Let's go back here for a minute.
Thank you.
I don't know what they're doing.
He needs to sign this when he comes back. Hopefully he'll remember.
I've got to.
You know how it works.
Yeah.
Howdy, Jen.
Oh, my gosh. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know, I'm falling apart, but it's fine.
Let me say, I'm so much better than the last.
I think I done this wrong, Jared.
Really?
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. We'll kill it.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm not sure how you do it from there.
So true. Very true. I told him to come in.